Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, November 11th, 2014. And with me today, I have two experts that are going to help us sort out a lot of really technical stuff. So I'm glad to have Brian Chaffin here. How are you, Brian?
Two experts. I can't wait to see who's on.
I know. It's going to be a surprise.
Yeah. All right. Good.
Yeah. And John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Good morning. I'm good.
Excellent. That's as it should be. We have a sponsor this week, and that would be Casper Mattresses. I'll be talking about them shortly. And the first topic that I thought we ought to dive into today is this whole thing with net neutrality that just kind of became a much bigger thing yesterday than it has been, because President Obama made a statement about his feelings on net neutrality, as did Senator Ted Cruz.
As did a lot of the GOP leadership, as did the various trade groups that represent the telecommunications industry, as did some tech companies and consumer advocates and internet activists. Lots of people started talking after the president's statement.
And you wrote a great article about the whole thing that kind of really wrapped it up, Brian.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I loved your piece. It came across to me very level-headed and very clear, and it really helped put a lot of what's going on with net neutrality from the political side into perspective.
Thanks very much. It's interesting. Above and beyond the anything that President Obama does is bad aspect that comes from a good portion of the country, most of which is GOP. In addition to that, you've got folks who just insist that the government can't regulate anything successfully, ignoring all of the many things that the government, state, local, city, state, and federal governments have been regulating quite successfully for a long time, including things like air, our public utilities,
drugs,
the fact that we don't have lead and paint anymore, safety standards in cars.
How about roads to get from city to city or state to state?
Yeah, an excellent example. And you know, this sort of knee-jerk reaction that the government can't regulate anything successful is belied by reality. And so you got those kinds of things going on. But then Ted Cruz did his little tweet saying that net neutrality is like Obamacare for
the internet.
For the internet. And the internet should not operate at the speed of government, which is just – I mean, actually, you know, on the one hand – It's a shockingly ignorant statement the way he meant it. But the way he didn't mean it, it's actually pretty close, because what net neutrality does is guarantee equal treatment to all data. And what Obamacare does is extend equal access to healthcare to a lot of people who didn't have it. So the way he didn't mean it, it's not that far off. But the
that
way
was a great comparison. I liked that analogy.
Thanks. It's just
what fascinates me is that, you know, both sides on this issue can be technically briefed. I mean, we don't expect Senator Ted Cruz to be an internet guru, but he has a staff, and he can be fully briefed on what the issues are. What's intriguing to me is that when somebody like Senator Cruz comes out with a political statement, you know, that meets his needs and vision for the way industry should operate, you know, unfettered, allowed to make lots of money, and so on. The unfortunate thing about the whole thing is that in order to do that, he has to come off appearing really stupid. And I don't think he is a stupid man.
He's a very intelligent man, but he's also incredibly cynical and opportunistic. And yeah. That statement was meant for the base. It wasn't meant for the rest of it wasn't meant for anyone else.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sort of a demagoguery where, you know, if you can, through sleight of word, convince your base that neutrality is a bad thing, you know, then you can kind of win your way in the political wars by manipulating public opinion.
But that said, there is a partisan divide on this issue. Republicans, by and large, believe that industry should be able to operate without regulation, and they have specifically said that about the telecommunications industry here as well. They want for if broadband providers want to create a two-laned or multi-laned system where some people have faster access to get their content into your home, well, then that's just the way the market wants it to be, and that's all there is to it. And I think that the surveys over the last couple of years have shown that most people, especially if they actually understand the issues involved, absolutely support net neutrality.
Yeah, plus those 4 million people who did the petition feedback.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of people.
That's a big number.
For something like that is.
Yes.
Obviously, it's a tiny percentage of the population as a whole. But when 1.2%, 1.3% of the population of the United States gets involved in offering feedback on any kind of government proposal, that is massive involvement.
Yeah, well, another thing that fascinates me is that it's probably possible to look for unintended consequences. I mean, we're all familiar enough with the history of technology, and we've all read science fiction, and we can all sit back and extrapolate. And what happens is that at first you think, well, there's nothing wrong with this. It's just some businesses making money, and some people will get faster service, and everything will swim along fine. But that's never the way things go. The way things go is that it gets... There's always some unexpected angle and consequence from this. And it gets to the point where one day something really bad happens and it's too late to go back and enforce proper principles.
Should we give a brief mention here of what the president's proposal actually was?
We absolutely should, because yes. There are some people that may not know what it is. The short version is that he'd like to see Title II regulation of internet service providers.
Right. In other words, reclassifying them as public utilities.
Right.
Which would bring a wealth of regulatory opportunity to the industry.
Well, that's the key, isn't it? That's the key.
That is absolutely the key.
People file their income tax. People do, Christmas shopping. People communicate with businesses. You know, there's all sorts of utility-like public business being connected on the internet. Excuse me. And you really can't treat it other than anything as an important public commerce and utility kind of system. It's not a playground for internet service providers to dabble and extract money from the system. It needs to be treated like, good water and clean air.
Indeed. And he also had four specific proposals that he wanted to be part of this public utility reclassification. The first is that there would be no blocking, no throttling, increased transparency between consumers and ISPs, and no paid prioritization, i.e. no multi-tiered system, no fast lanes.
So none of what Verizon and Comcast have already forced Netflix into.
Correct.
And I'm okay with that. Meaning I'm okay with having these regulations that prohibit companies from extracting fees just to get content through their lines.
Yeah, you know what I don't want? I'm sick and tired of broadband providers offering and advertising X amount of bandwidth and then getting pissy about it when anyone actually uses it. That is such nonsense. It's such absolute nonsense.
Actually, it is. That would be like Ford saying, buy this car, and then getting upset when people buy it and drive it.
Yeah, or saying, you know, this is saying that this car can go 60 miles an hour, but then tends when that people actually want to go 60 miles. It's just ISPs need to be reined in, and I think this is the way to do it.
I think you're right, and I'm really glad that the president made a very clear statement on where he stands about net neutrality.
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of clout these days. It remains to be seen if him making any kind of stand on this will be enough to get the FCC to do the right thing. But I am hopeful.
What about a Republican Senate now and a Republican Congress going into the next year? They're clearly going to be on the side of business. Isn't this an uphill battle, Brian?
Well, the FCC gets to regulate it without congressional oversight.
Yeah, but I was reading an article the other day that said Congress could make life difficult for the FCC by passing certain kinds of laws.
Correct. The Congress can, in fact, write legislation that corrects any kind of or changes, depending on what your viewpoint is, any kind of particular regulation from the FCC or any of the other various regulatory agencies. Of course, that legislation would have to be signed into law by President Obama to go into effect. So there's going to be a lot of grandstanding on this issue over the next 2 years, but Congress is not going to be able to make much of a change.
I think you're right, and I hope you're right, because
I hope so too.
Yeah, because it would be just an agenda platform mess, and ultimately we would suffer for it.
Yeah. One final note on this: a lot of people have made much to do about Ted Cruz having accepted money from various telecommunications companies. But so has Al Franken, and Al Franken has been a champion for net neutrality from the get-go. I don't think that Ted Cruz's opinion has been bought by the telecommunications industry. I just think that their overall philosophies are aligned.
Sure, that seems reasonable, but of course, because he has taken money from the telecommunication industry, there will be people that will point that out and say he has been bought, regardless of whether or not he has.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor this week.
Excellent.
Yes.
Cool.
It's Casper. They make mattresses, and the mattresses they make are actually pretty amazing. I have one that I've been sleeping on for a little while now, and I was really impressed. What sets their mattresses apart from others is that they're doing this hybrid mattress thing where it's memory foam and latex together, so it's kind of like a sandwich thing. So you don't get sucked in and get stuck in this cocoon thing and then sweat to death. It's easy to move around in the bed. It's very comfortable. And I'm really liking mine. Another thing that sets them apart is the fact that they can sell their mattresses for a lot less than competitors. So a queen size mattress, for example, is going to run you $850 as opposed to like $1,200 or $1,500.
Why can they do it cheaper?
They have their own process. They have their own equipment. They are working locally. And they have figured out how to put all of this together in such a way where they don't have to have the same overhead that other companies have.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And it gets delivered to you in a box, right?
It's really cool. Getting this thing in a box where it's basically they have Time Lord technology because they're putting something in the box that's far – it's bigger on the inside.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I'm loving my mattress. I've been tracking my sleep patterns. And because I have insomnia, so I've been curious to see if this helps with that. So I'm going to keep tracking throughout the week, and on Friday we'll take a look and see what difference the Casper mattresses have made for me.
Killer.
And they are also giving all of us a $50 discount on a mattress. So if you go to casper.com/TDO, you can take advantage of the discount. And there's a special discount code, which is tough to remember. It's TDO. And
that stands for TMO's daily observations for those keeping score at home.
Yes, that's exactly what it means. So yeah, so I'm really glad that Casper is sponsoring this week, and go check out their mattresses and get one for yourself because I really like them. And the next thing that we have to talk about is this whole mask attack.
Yeah, I love their first album, Blue Lines, 1991. That was such a good album.
Quintessential.
Yes.
Yeah. And for those of you that think we actually really are talking about bands right now, no, we're not. There is a security threat that is targeting iOS devices. And what it does is there's this flaw in the security system that lets bad guys...
Of iOS.
Yes, in iOS. Thank you. And it lets bad guys take an identifying component out of a legit app, put it into their app, and then it appears as if their app is the legit app. And so then they can do stuff like steal your passwords or grab other content off your iPhone. And this is really scary, and it's something Apple really needs to fix. But it's also not quite as ominous for end users as it sounds, because for you to be hit by this, you need to the attacker needs to have an iOS developer enterprise program account so that they can develop apps for distribution outside of the App Store. They then have to get the app to you, which means they have to trick you into downloading it.
From their site,
because this will not be coming through the App Store. And then once you have downloaded that, you're going to get a warning on your iPhone screen that says, this is an untrusted app. Do you really want to download it? So now you have to say, yes, I want to download this. And then once you've done all of that, now you can have an app that appears to be one thing, like maybe a Twitter client, but in fact is a Twitter client that's stealing your passwords.
And for those who might be doing a Google search on this or reading it up or looking for it at TMO, it's Mask Attack, MASQUE.
Oh, I thought it was Massive Attack.
Could be that
too. The band.
The band, right.
I'm just taking my joke too far.
But I give you points for effort, Brian. Well done.
Thank you. And diligence.
Yes. So anyhow, I've been seeing a lot of hype about this. That, you know, this is just horrible because now you don't know if the apps on your iPhone are legit or if they're from hackers. No, there are a lot of steps that you have to go through to make this happen. And if all of this sounds really familiar and now you're thinking, oh crap, I have actually installed an app that's part of this whole mask attack thing, just delete it off your iPhone. Go back to the App Store and download it directly from there and you'll be okay. Because it's not like the app leaves another payload on your iPhone so that it can do something when it's not there anymore.
Probably thanks to the extreme sandboxing on the iPhone.
Yeah, so at least we have that in our favor. But this is another case of Apple needing to address a potentially serious iOS issue, and I'm hoping that they do something quickly.
Yep,
there you go. All right, so I kind of monopolized that segment right there, didn't I?
It's quite all right.
Yeah, well, you know, it's my show, so I can do that. And we are out of time. So
not again.
Yet
not again.
Again.
Oh, that always happens.
It's like clockwork.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, John, thank you for joining me today.
Absolutely.
And Brian, thank you for joining me as well.
Indeed.
And Casper, thank you for being our show sponsor this week. And yeah, go check out their site, casper.com/TDO, and order yourself a mattress because they're really nice. And we'll see everyone tomorrow.